Hello, everybody, and welcome to, I think, the 11th episode of Hustle Beach. I am your host, Kosha Dills. I'm reporting to you live post-pandemic announcement in Los Angeles, specifically Hollywood, California. And I am here with
Jordan Young,
all the way from
Minneapolis, Minnesota,
and currently in
Los Angeles, California.
You would have known that because I already announced that we're in California. But yeah, Hustle Beach again, and we are hustling our way, and it's like, I want it to be so consistent of like, how can I say, like every Tuesday, and unfortunately I failed. Like I fail many things in life, but point is I'm back up and I'm doing it, and I've only missed like 2 weeks. But we're going to put this episode up, and it's going to be amazing. And what I'm really excited about to talk about is that since our last episode with Maynard in Yafo, he does this thing called the Dank Podcast. And he sells like he's in the weed business, sort of.
Nice.
It's like creating content in the weed business. I ran a marathon.
Congrats.
Yeah, I did.
Was that 26.2?
Oh, it was actually like 26.7 around, because you're like running sideways sometimes to the side. You're not just going straight. For instance, if you see someone on the side of the road and you're like giving out something, you know, you're just running to them. You run from the right side to the left side, left side to the right side.
All right.
So there's a couple little extra things. Yeah. Deanne's kind of sus that add on an extra 5 minutes to your run.
Yeah, count for that half mile too, for sure.
So you gonna tell you, you're a radio promoter, but it started where? Not Tinderbox. There was life before Tinderbox.
There was. Like many radio promoters, I started in college radio myself. You know, I went to college at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. And while I was there...
Sick wrestling team.
Yeah, they've got a reputation for that. Good wrestling team. A great vet program, I've been told as well. I didn't have like a huge abundance of school spirit and everything, but what I did find while I was there is the college radio station, which is KURE. Working there, I started as an on-air DJ where I'd have a hip-hop and electronic music show every week called Beatbox, and from there I started working as the station's hip-hop director and then eventually the station's music director. So I was there for, I don't know, close to 2 years, something like that. And you know, when you're in Iowa and you want to start working in the music industry, there's not a lot of outlets to do that in. You know, for me, radio was the one that kind of made sense. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do.
And it's kind of like
a good start.
It's kind of like radio now, dude. It's like all the live music is gonna like run away. Like guys, you know, South by Southwest was canceled, Coachella was canceled or postponed.
Yeah, and shouts to coronavirus, right?
Right, and it's like, now what's going to come back? Like, people are going to have to listen to Spotify, radio. It's going to just generate new...
It's interesting, because like, I was literally talking to a programmer at a station in Tampa, Florida, shout out WMNF. Mike Bagley is the music director there. And we were talking about how they were going over, like, protocol and procedures and stuff for dealing with like coronavirus and the outbreak and stuff like that. And that's a big thing about, you know, beyond just being a radio station that plays music and stuff, is like, you are like a broadcaster. You're like a public media outlet in your market, and being able to deal with disaster relief and stuff like that does kind of fall within the scope of responsibility and things that you can do to serve your community and be a part of it. So this is a weird thing that people don't always, you know, think about or aren't always familiar with, but yeah, being able to educate the public and spread messages on how to stay safe during this kind of thing is something that's part of the role, definitely.
Do you think there's going to be like tons of coronavirus rap music now? Or content like bands or like...
Well, you could lead the way and make a song about it for sure.
I know.
There'll be like, at least a couple.
There's going to have to be a couple.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because well, actually, like I think we're nearing the end of like, okay, it's funny. And now it's like too serious, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Like Live Nation's stock went down $1.4 billion. Like people are losing all their jobs,
and for sure.
Not because of a joke, you know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So,
like, at what point does it stop being this like buzzy fad that people like talk about and make memes about and joke about? And at what point does it start to become like a serious thing? And at what point does it start to become like a major problem and an epidemic and all of this stuff?
Like,
you know,
Tom Hanks got it today. And
right, yeah, shout out Forrest Gump for sure.
Well, yeah, now to give a new definition to run Forrest Run.
I was literally thinking about that earlier today, seriously.
It's just funny because people are making Tom Hanks Forrest Gump references, like, oh, Kosher, you're running a marathon, like Forrest Gump or whatever. And I'm just like, ah,
run, Kosher, run,
exactly. Yeah. So now I'm going to, I'm going to Austin to do a show, and I'm doing, these South by shows. One thing I am concerned about in general is, like, how. Anyways, it's like the radio is going to be covering it. Everyone's kind of reaching out in some sort of way. But how does music transcend? Like, how do you promote music during a pandemic? Like, no one briefed you on that in college or at your work. And, like, records are still going to have to come out. Like, my record's coming out. I have a record coming out in a couple of days. And it's like, you got a record with Modest Yahoo coming out. Like, how do you promote that when Tom Hanks has the coronavirus? Like, no one's trying to talk about your stupid record.
Totally.
And there's other people. It's Friday the 13th or whatever. It's spooky. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting, man, because, like, you dedicate your whole life to, like, radio promotion stuff and this, and then, like, the school shut down. You're like, how do I do my job? And people, like, get mad at you because, no one's playing my record. Like, it's not, they will play a record. They're just not there right now because they're not allowed on campus because no one's working.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's just one of those major things that's, like, so out of everyone's control, like, as much as we want to, like, make our point and push it through and, like, cater to our own self-interest, like, there's this massive thing going out that's bigger than all of us,
right?
And yeah, it's
have you ever had a situation in radio promo where, like, someone got mad, right? Like, someone got really mad at you, but there was, like, a death in a family or things like that, or, and you're like, it's not in anyone's control. Like, something really personal happened. Has that happened to you?
I've encountered some... I mean, there's a lot of situations that go on where, it could be an artist or a programmer or something that's dealing with a big personal thing just on their issue. It's mm-hmm. That doesn't affect the market as a whole. And, like, yeah, I mean, I totally feel for that, especially in, like, non-commercial radio where so much of it is volunteer driven and a lot of people aren't necessarily being paid to be there to host a show, to review music and stuff. A lot of times they have to put other things as a bigger priority. And when right. they do have, like, a death in the family or something big, or in college stations in particular, what we see is people like, oh, I've just been so buried by, like, all this homework that I have and these big projects and assignments and stuff like that. That's something that they deal with a lot. And, like, you have to be sensitive to that to a certain extent. It can't, like, badger people and be like, well, no matter what, like, this music needs to come first and foremost ahead of, like, the school that you're doing and, the family that you have to take care of and all of this
right.
stuff. But
right.
that said, like, there have definitely been other situations, more so that I've heard of than I've been involved with or dealt with personally, where there have been controversies or other things that warp a campaign on a project. Like, trying to think of a couple examples in particular, but there was one promoter I heard about that got kind of a bad rap because they were using the death of an artist as a way to, like, promote it. Like, I don't even remember who it was or something like that, but the artist released an album and, like, it died recently, and they were like, oh, you should totally support this because this person died and stuff like that. And, like, I mean, there is some sense of relevance when doing that, but it has kind of a smarmy, like, undertone to it at the whole time,
It's difficult. I mean, when people pass away, that's when people listen to their music more,
totally.
But it's like, it's using it to be like, you got to support the record. He's dead. Like, as like a PR push.
Yeah,
kind of
absolutely. There's one other example I can think of in particular where, I mean, this was, like, maybe a few years ago or something when, like, this was, like, kind of at the beginning of, like, the Me Too movement where that really, like, took root. And, like, when that's really started to build steam and get a lot of attention. And I remember, so there's this other promoter, that puts a lot of records out to radio and stuff called Terror Bird. And they were about to promote an album by the group Power Bottom, who, one of the members of the group got, like, he was one of the first people, at least that I heard, in the music community that got, like, a Me Too really hard. And they basically just dropped the record all of a sudden. I remember it was, like, in the span of a few days where, like, where like the management company, the label, like the radio promoter, everyone just dropped them all as a client. And I remember hearing from them and some other stations like, yeah, we're no longer promoting the Power Bottom record. I'm sure you all understand. And, you know, it's just a whole different situation where like a lot of those things do happen. Like, beyond, you know, and I'm by all means, like,
yeah,
you know,
he got
what he deserved if all of that was true. But it's like the promoter, they have no control over that. That's something that's much bigger than what they're doing in their piece of the puzzle, you know.
Right.
It's kind of something you just have to like accept and deal with. And yeah, and at the end of the day, it's like you have to put morals and humanity and stuff like that above, you know, everything else.
Well, buzzwords, guys, morality and humanity.
Right. I'm not a preacher, but like, I mean, there are bigger things at the end of the day than like us marketing our music, you know?
is it? You're like, yes, there is. You're like, wait, really? You're like, it's not all about me. Speaking of the Me Too movement, Tara V. Weinstein got like 23 years today.
Oh, right.
So he'll probably die. Maybe he'll get early release.
That's right. That's the thing, is a lot of people, they end up actually serving like half the time and then get like paroled for half of it or something like that.
I mean, he's financially, what's the word? Financially adept.
He's going to go to rich white guy jail for sure.
Yeah, but like he'll also have people like working on his case to maybe get some new evidence to get him off.
Right,
maybe
or try 11 to
years.
Or
yeah, exactly.
Well, I've heard also that he's still like in trial in like LA County or something like that. It's like there's one, he got sentenced in federal court or something, but he's still like being prosecuted by the state of California or by LA County or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Just want to go back. So when you grew up in Minneapolis, were you in a band or you were like, no, I'm just going to push music. This is my plan. This is like what I want to do.
Yeah. So I'm actually from Iowa originally. You know, like I said, I went to school at Iowa State University.
What part of Iowa are you from?
Cedar Rapids. Yeah. Shout out to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Yeah,
I feel like I knew some rappers from there, and I was like in Dubuque and Cedar Rapids, which is that
okay.
part of Quad Cities?
Dubuque is. Cedar Rapids isn't. Cedar Rapids is like real central Iowa, for
okay.
sure. It's the second largest city in Iowa. Not a whole lot of a music scene. I mean, there have definitely been people that have cultivated little, you know, scenes here and there along the way. That's definitely
I-80,
something I did.
You guys have the biggest truck stop in all of the world.
Yeah, I-80, it's like, they have billboards and stuff that they run by there. Like,
you could buy chocolate-covered crickets, any all kinds
wow.
of things over there.
Yeah, I can't say I've really been in there much. It's not actually in Cedar Rapids, but it's not far from
it. I want to, you went from Iowa to Minnesota, and then you transferred over to Los Angeles. What was it like to make a big jump to Los Angeles doing music promotion, knowing that this is the music capital of the world? But you come from Minneapolis too, when that's like super big hub for hip hop, indie music,
totally.
And indie stuff, because LA shit is like, it's LA, you know what I'm saying? It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a different vibe, you know? And honestly, like when it comes to the Minneapolis,
well, literally
hip-hop
Minneapolis
scene,
is like underground radio, college radio vibe, and it's not all about pop and hip hop. Like top 40 radio.
Totally.
When you come to LA, it's like it's like this underground scene, but they're underground because they're just not on the pop yet. It's like a different underground, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, well, in terms of the radio market, there's a great radio market in Minneapolis for sure. There's The Current is the big like public broadcast AAA station that, you know,
I want to be on it so bad.
They have a huge following, like, you know, nationally and globally for sure. That said, like they are very much a AAA format, you know, a lot of its playlists.
What
and
is
stuff.
What's AAA?
AAA is like, it's just music that's very accessible. I don't even remember exactly what the 3A's stand for, but it's essentially like an adult contemporary or something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
music that's very accessible, like indie rock, singer-songwriter, indie pop, kind of stuff like that.
Right.
They, you know, The Current in particular does do a little bit with hip-hop, particularly because of the strong hip-hop scene that Minneapolis has. So, you know, they will play, you know, a lot of the Rhymesayers artists and Doomtree and, you know, certain, you know, different artists like that. Plus, there's a good local show and some specialty shows in the evening that are essentially freeform and not playlisted, so that different hosts can go on and play what they want to, like Toki Wright had a show on The Current for a while.
Right.
Before that, actually, it was what Sadiq and Kevin Beecham, who had a show on The Current called H2. And those are the two guys that like founded Rhymesayers. They're like the founders of Rhymesayers, who had a hip hop show, you know, once a week on the station. So they do some other cool stuff, you know, in the genre and everything like that. But either way, they're a huge, you know, public broadcast station that's based out of Minneapolis and has a good following. You know, Radio K is in Minneapolis, and they're very much a core college station that's been around for a long time. And, you know, they are a good example of what like real college radio is, by playing, you know, indie and underground music and playing only new relevant music and things like that. So that's cool. That's a cool thing. There are a lot of artists that have definitely, you know, gotten their start there and gone into bigger things in the, you know, in the Minneapolis scene.
I know a guy on Minneapolis radio, Peter Parker. He's like on
He's on Go 95.3.
He's from Boston.
Oh, no
way.
That's
how I know him. That's awesome. Just doing shows out there.
That's cool. I remember when Go 95.3 started a few years ago.
He was like, yeah, he's out there with Cardi B and everything. Like, you know, yeah, he's doing his thing. And shout out to Peter Parker.
Yeah, he's a good personality, honestly. Like, the Twin Cities is like really lucky to have him there doing what he's doing as a part of their scene and cultivating, you know, hip-hop and everything there. At the same time, like, it's a really good fit for him, you know. I think they're lucky to have him, and he's lucky to be there at the same time.
But what do you feel like the college scene, like, you're out in LA, you're making different kinds of relationships, so it's like, why'd you come to LA when you're doing such an indie thing?
You know, to be honest, like, I work as a sync licensing agent on the side as well, and that's the main reason that I came to LA in particular, because, like, that's where this whole scene really lives. You know, it's like, this is where the TV shows are being made, this is where the films are being made. I mean, there are certainly other people that are working in sync licensing and music supervision in some other markets, you know, like New York and maybe Chicago and Portland and some other places, but a lot of those are, like, ad agencies that are doing it for advertising and things like that. But in terms of, like, the majority of everything else, like, the sync industry essentially lives in LA, you know, so I really just came here to be closer to all of that.
Right. Do you feel like, it's a funny if it's like sync, and like, I had my biggest song in a Super Bowl commercial that cellular phone.
I remember that. What was the Bud Light commercial with the give a dog a bone and stuff? I remember seeing that a lot, like, back when it aired, like 10 years ago or whenever.
Yeah, 2012 to be exact, February 5th. I remember, obviously, because like the biggest day of my life.
Yeah, totally. That's a huge spot, honestly, man. Like, advertising sinks are big in terms of money, and especially something that airs during the Super Bowl to like 100 million people, like, that's big, man. Definitely.
Those proud moments. Proud moments, dude.
So how did you land that anyway? I'm curious. Can you tell the story about how that came to be?
Jesse Shackin. Shout out to Belief. He was a producer. Met him through C-Ray's Walls. If those remember, C-Ray's my first record, 2008, was C-Ray's. I used to record at Jesse's in New York, in Brooklyn, on Lorimer Street. And then from there, you know, did a record with him in LA called Beverly Dills. We were in Beverly Hills today.
Ah, we were. Yeah.
So Cellular
Dills
Phone
in Beverly Hills, yeah.
Cellular Phone was the first joint. And he worked really hard, and that was his hustle. He was doing this thing called, you know, trying to licensing. I mean, before 2010, people didn't really know what that was like.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
Like,
totally.
I was the first one really up on, like, I want to buy sample-free beats so we could get it in there. And we made, you know, on this one we made 3,000, on this one we made 200, and this one we made, you know, 500 or whatever. And then we had this thing, and I was in Winnebago. We were on a tour doing amateur snowboarding competition performances. So I'm like, you know, 30 years old. I'm like, this is what I'm doing. And then one day I get a call from him, and he's like, yo, I need you to re-record these lyrics. I'm like, okay. And we went into like a Love's Rest Stop in Colorado. Loveland, Colorado. And then we, then I just rapped the song lyrics a little bit differently. In a bathroom, I rented like a $12 shower.
All right,
the trucker showers, because it was the only place without elevator music in there, because I would have done it outside. And Jesse's like, what kind of like mic are you using? And I'm like, dude, it's like my jacket on the wall, and just recording it, and I don't know and how to do it. And we did it. I sent him the stuff. I don't know what Wi-Fi it was. Maybe it was like a, you know, hotspot. And he did it, and he had to redo some stuff. And next thing you know, it was on TV, and I, you know, got some big checks for it, man. It was really jump-started my rap career.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's gnarly, man.
really jumpstarted my rap career, and it was really awesome just for doing that. I think it was really cool how it all came about.
Totally.
And yeah, and then I did another record with him from that, and did Awkward in a Good Way with Gangsta Boo, and did got MERS on the record, and
right,
and then Hanging Out also got a spot on a Sears commercial.
Oh wow.
Another big, and there's so many, like, there's, you can get the big spot for $100,000, and then you can get the smaller spots. There's tons of those $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 budget things, and you know, if you have that kind of user friendly stuff, because advertisements are user friendly in general, because they are for the masses,
right? You know, I mean? Absolutely. I mean, they've got to be very accessible. But now, if you're selling, using it to sell a product, for sure.
Yeah. So it's cool, man. I love licensing. I love that you do. I just love college radio, because where I got my start. But it's like,
yeah,
I've seen people in Lawrence, Kansas, you know, like a group of like 9 people show up, yeah, to my show, because they're like, yo, we like have all your record, and like you used to be at the radio station.
Yeah.
And we seen totally. It there, and we looked you up on Spotify, and your thing was here, and you had a show, and we all wanted to come. And you're like, what? And yeah, we want to buy a bunch of t-shirts. And you're like, I can't believe it pays off.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
And I think that's the thing now. It's that, like, when I first started college radio, you can't always be like, you know, you gotta do college radio and then go to the town and then do a little interview and then get someone a ticket and then meet them. And
absolutely.
And
it's,
that's like the idea of that PR and
totally,
stuff.
Totally, totally, man. It's a stepping stone. That's really mm-hmm. what it comes down to. It's about making an impression on people.
Right now, there is a quote by somebody from Harvard that said, I think within 2 weeks, there will not be anyone in college classes. And it's really interesting, because then you're like, hey, I want to do college radio, but there might not be anyone in college. But just so everyone knows, a college radio station doesn't mean it's for people in college. It just right. means it's run at the college. Yeah, it's free.
For sure.
It's what they do. And people in college don't listen to it probably, but more people that are just like in the area that love the college radio.
Absolutely, man. That is definitely a pretty common misconception about college radio, is that like, oh, it's only for the students, or only the students can listen to it, or something like that. And it's really just where the colleges tend to be based when their college radio is on the campus somewhere. But yeah, it's absolutely accessible to anyone in the community that can listen. Some of them do have pretty big reaches throughout their entire market. But yeah, I mean, that's really the kind of audience that it caters to more than anything, is not just college kids, but also just people that are generally interested in like independent underground music that can't be heard on other outlets. That's really the mentality behind all of it.
It's, you know what's so crazy? It's like, I saw someone think about it, and it's like, man, you have the best record in the world right now, but you know, certain events happen, you know, like you have the best show on a college campus, but it's the NCAA tournament and that college is in a championship.
Yeah.
So now it's in a world now where like you can't just push a record. You have to align yourself with current events and then sort of insert your song with current events. Unless you're the biggest artist and you're like, I just want to talk about music, and you're like, don't you get it? Like, I'm not getting paid to talk about music. I'm getting paid to talk about, you know, what, anything that makes people get their eyes on it. And I wrote an article for Variety magazine saying, F it, I'm going to South by Southwest, and I inserted my song link there, because it's like, and she's like, she was like, yeah, we guess we could do that, but I want your, we want stuff that people are going to read, which is, people are going to read Someone Died. People are going to read Tom Hanks Has Coronavirus. People are going to read Mac Miller Overdosed. People aren't going to read Koshi Dillis Has a New Song.
Right.
Modest Yahoo. People are going to read his thing, and he's going to Austin, Texas, and like, oh, wow, he has a new song too, and I'll just click that link maybe because it's in here.
Totally. I saw that article in Variety too, by the way. That was cool. And I know you've done a couple of those for them.
And how did you see it? You just seen it from my page?
Or yeah, I saw it on your page from Facebook or Twitter.
It would have been amazing if you were like, just there. You're like, yeah, what?
Yeah. I feel like that has happened before. It was like Hip Hop DX or something I'm like, oh, look, it's Kosha. And it wasn't from your page specifically. That's really what press is so much about too, is they care about story more than anything. It's not just the content of like, oh, here's a new song, here's a new video, whatever. Like, it's really about the story behind it and putting it in context.
You know? Yeah, man, it's, you know, I can't call it, bro.
It's interesting because like radio is different. Radio is so much more about just featuring the song for what it is at face value and like, oh, do you like this? Does it bump for you? Is it cool? Is it something you enjoy? Like I've worked records at radio that had a great story behind them. I mean, one of them was even yours when I would talk about some of your stories from the past about like, mm-hmm. oh, getting Super Bowl commercials and like his website was hacked by ISIS and like all these things. And like, you know, that's one example. There's some other records. Like,
Newsflash guys. Jordan has worked one of my albums.
I have. Records. That was What I Do All Day in Pickle. What was it, like 3-4 years ago, yep. something like that. It's been a minute for sure.
Been a minute.
But another, you know, story I had was like I worked an album by an artist named Jonathan Emile, who's this, you know, conscious hip hop artist out of Canada, and he had a feature from Kendrick Lamar on his album, and he was actually suing Top Dog Entertainment over it. There's this whole story, like I won't explain it too much, just because it would take a long time, but you can look it up there. He got a lot of press out of it, like practically every big outlet that features hip hop music feature this. I mean, this was in Pitchfork and XXL and The Source and Two Dope Boys and Billboard and Variety and all these places, because the story behind it was so great. You know, it was like, oh, basically, you know, Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog Entertainment took this infraction against this small independent artist, and now he's taking them to court and trying to sue them, representing himself and all this stuff. And it was great for press. And I had that story at radio and I was telling everyone about it, and like, no one really cared that much, to be honest. Like, at the end of the day, they were like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, like, the music spoke for itself, and that's really what they were interested in. You know, it's like, oh, this guy might have a great story and this really cool thing behind this record. That's but, like, thing. That's not going to make them play it if they don't like the way that it sounds.
I know, because in college radio, you're like, there's 7 people here, and our listenership is, you know, like, we don't even know what it is. And, like, we're doing it for free, so you don't have to sell me on it. Like, you know, we're in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We like the record. We like you, the radio promoter. We're going to play the song because you gave us the record and you sent us a nice copy to the station. We appreciate it. And it's one of the last places that does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's something where it helps. Obviously, having a relationship with these stations definitely makes it more likely that they'll review the album and mm-hmm. that they'll add it to rotation or do something with it. But to be honest, like the music really does speak for itself at the end of the day. Like if people like the album, you know, they'll be much more likely to do something with it. And if they don't, then they won't. But at the end of the day, it's our job to make sure that they actually like listen to it and give it a chance in the first place.
I gotta look into that Jonathan Emile story.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, if you Google so it, you'll not, find anything, he's anything not, out there about it.
He's not friends with Kendrick Lamar.
No, definitely not. Like but he
Kendrick Lamar is on his record.
Yep. He's on, the album is called The Lover Fighter Document. The song that he's on is called Heaven Help Them, I believe. And, yeah, I mean, Kendrick has a verse on it. I mean, I guess basically the story, what happened was like Jonathan, like he booked him for the feature on the album. Like he recorded the feature, he sent it back, they paid him, everything was good. And then Jonathan posted it to SoundCloud. It was up for like 3-4 days or something. It was getting a lot of traction and building buzz, and like people were sharing it and listening to it, and it was getting spread around a little bit. And then the label hit him up and they're like, hey, we don't like the way the verse came out, or we don't like the way that it sounds, we want you to take it down. And he was like, no, like I'm not gonna do that. Like we had a deal, we were square, like, you know, everything has been agreed to and accepted to, and now it's building traction, and I'm not just going to pull it down because you're asking me to. So they like filed a claim with SoundCloud saying that it infringed on their copyright and that he didn't have permission to use it or whatever it was. And then that's what the lawsuit was about. Basically, it was about like the loss of buzz and the loss of traction, you know, basically the opportunity cost that he had because they wrongfully took down his song, or had it wrongfully had his song removed from SoundCloud. And it is a cool story if you look at it, because they went to court and all this got settled, and at the end of the day it was a long process that ended up going through, and it was like 2 or 3 years in the making or something, and he represented himself in court and he ended up winning, but the settlement wasn't huge. You know, he ended up getting like, I don't I think it says in the article somewhere, like, he got like $7,000 or $8,000 or something, or that's what he was awarded for, which is not a big victory, but for him, it was a matter of principle. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm not going to let these big labels push me around because I'm a small indie artist and they don't think that I have any recourse. And there were a lot of lawyers, or
like that word, recourse.
Yeah, yeah, totally, man. There was some lawyer or something that got quoted in, you know, like Billboard or one of the publications after the trial, and we're like, this is a unique case for what it is, because there hasn't really been a trial quite like this before where someone sued over like opportunity cost, or at least the loss over having a song unlawfully removed from SoundCloud or something like that.
You're messing up with my buzz. Coronavirus is messing up with my buzz, and I can't no one to sue.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a new song coming out, and the world to some people is over, you know? Like, yeah, I wonder what totally. Italy's Spotify headquarters is doing for New Music Friday. That is literally the entire country's on lockdown. And, you know, it's a big deal, you know? I'm not sure what that will be, but shout out to everybody that is listening far away. Anyways, it's good to talk to you, man. I'm excited. We've talked about a numerous amount of things, from radio to licensing to court cases to coronavirus, yeah. Tom Hanks, my records. And
I'll say this, man, don't let it get you down too much, because you know what, whether it's coronavirus or something else, there are always other aspects out there that you can't control, you know. Mm-hmm. There, one thing that happens a lot that we'll see too is like just other competing albums, you know. It's like, oh, there are like a bunch of big albums or big artists that end up releasing stuff at the exact same time as you. Yeah. And sometimes you're competing with that just as much as you are with coronavirus or big sporting events or other things that are going on. So
right.
At some point, like, I guess you just have to accept that there are certain things that are out of your control or out of any of our control, you know.
Sure.
Crazy time. What though,
how could the internet find you?
I'm out there on social media and stuff, you know, like Twitter, Instagram, whatever.
What's your Twitter?
It's JordanYoung189. So
JordanYoung189.
Very original. Whatever.
Instagram,
same thing.
JordanYoung189.
Yes, for sure. And I just put up a new website, actually, for my licensing company. My licensing company is called Fort Clearington, and that's just fortclearington.com.
Clearing ton.
Yes, like CLEARINGTON. Okay. It's a super corny name, you know, but like I had to come up with something, and that was like the most original thing I could come up with. Hey, so I just went with it. And
you know what name I came up with, right?
Matza for your mouth. Is
yes.
that it?
Yeah. Kosher dills, matza for your mouth.
It's very
wow.
Jewish sounding, for sure. So it's on brand for you.
Matza for your mouth, kosher dills, oy vey. Yeah, man, trust me, so I know all about it. Anyways, dude, thanks for coming on Hustle Beach. This
dude,
is another episode of
me.
Hustle Beach. Guys, if you like this, you could share it, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify. These are going to be up on YouTube. And I have a Patreon. Patreon is this really amazing thing that you could give money, and it gives you monthly content, or, you know, weekly content. And since we won't be able to be playing live shows in large groups, this is a huge way for me to get a monthly paycheck for all this cool stuff that I do, like recording podcasts in the car somewhere in Hollywood.
Yeah.
so it's patreon.com/koshadills, KOSHADILLZ. I'm koshadillsworld.com. This is Hustle Beach, where you gotta hustle, beach. And thanks for coming out, man.
Peace.